This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. The New York Times ran a survey recently asking hundreds of nutrition experts and average Americans which foods they would consider healthy. When comparing the responses from experts and public, there were some polarizing results that show some divergence in opinions on healthy foods. So, for example, are juices and sushi and granola really good for you? Mary Isaw John, Chief Dietitian from Institute Jantung Negara, is here today to tell us more. Mary, welcome to the show.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well. I'm curious about this first question because I think a lot of people have a lot of different understandings about what's considered healthy. So what do you consider healthy food?
Okay, let's be a little bit more evidence-based. We look at dictionary, and this is what they say. Any natural food popularly believed to promote or sustain good health as by containing vital nutrients being grown without the use of pesticides or having a low sodium or low fat content. That's what the dictionary says. But there is another version that another dictionary says. Health food is considered beneficial to health in ways that go beyond a normal healthy diet, and it is required for human nutrition. Okay, so it's not for animal, it's for human, right? And because there's no precise authoritative definition from regulatory agencies such as U.S. Food and Drug Administration, different dietary practices can be considered healthy depending on the context. So I think we need to understand that. The first one is very, very a real kind of theory, you know. But what I think health food is considered an extra benefit from the normal eating patterns, okay? So it's good for health, usually when it is grown naturally, grown without much damage due to chemicals and all that. But I just wanted to go back to one basics, which the human body needs carbohydrate, protein, fats, vitamins and minerals from food and water, okay? That's fundamental basic. Human bodies do not change, whether you are a baby bloomer or you are a Gen Y or the millennium. The body is, it has a heart, it has kidneys, it has all that. This is real, okay? What is important is what you put inside.
We were talking about what is healthy food, mm-hmm. but is there a distinction between what is healthy food and what it means to eat healthily? Because I feel like that could be two different things.
Yeah, I like that question you told me. You know, some people say that this is healthy food, so I can eat any amount. No, we are wrong. It has to be a part of your diet. For example, some people prefer to, just give you an example, like they prefer to drink juices than eat fruit, right? Yeah, you can, but it is still the same exchange for a fruit. A juice, it doesn't mean that I can drink 3-4 glasses of the fresh juice. That means your servings have gone haywire. So that's a very good question that you asked me. And because fruits are good, that doesn't mean I take kilos of them. Okay? So what is perceived healthy does not mean you eat them in abundance. So you know, and how to do it is also important.
Why do you think there is a difference between where nutritionists are coming from in terms of what is healthy food and what the public understands to be healthy food? Is it to do with marketing? I mean, why do people have that misconception?
Public perceptions are different. The level of knowledge and awareness is also different. I think as a dietitian, I've learned one thing in my life. What we know is very scientific and evidence-based, but what we have to put to the public has to be simple and easy, okay? So I just give them a very good example. If you want to buy a house, right, you would really do some investigation on the location, how much it is, what are the facilities, is there a school nearby, is there a transport system, how much is the bank going to give you, all this you will do some thorough CSI job, right? But very surprisingly, Malaysians, when they say this food is good or this supplement is good, they don't do any kind of serious research because it's their friend or it's someone they think is in authority. They just take it. So I think they need to really be aware and do some work behind it.
based on your experience, well, I mean, this study was talking about the differences in American, the American public and American nutritionists. But would Malaysians and nutritionists have the same divide of information?
Okay. Let me just clarify the American issue. The FDA, which is the U.S. Food Drug Administration, they define the healthy food from the era when dietary fat was criticized. Okay? Low fat means healthy, high in fat means very harsh. Okay? So they grew up with that. But what they forgot that during that time, millions of Americans clung to that advice. Low fat was best. Low fat was best. But in the process, they started munching on sugar-rich food, more refined grain, started drinking more sodas, you know, and because they are not fat. Sodas do not have fat, right? So there has been an evolution, an understanding went haywire, okay? Because sometimes you have to look at the whole perspective. When you say a statement, you got to be very careful on the repercussions, okay? So I think that is where they fail. They did not look at the whole pattern of it.
Just last year, Australia revised their food pyramid, and now the US uses a food plate as a nutrition guide. Have the nutrition guidelines in Malaysia been updated?
Yeah, yes. Ours is updated, and we are coming out with the Malaysian plate.
Okay, know? So yeah. We're switching to the plate as well.
Yeah, we're switching to the plate. The food pyramid is actually a guide. That is, I know. But how do I do it? How I put the pyramid is on the plate. That's how it comes.
Right.
So that's a very easy. Because when you put a pyramid, and you go, how do I eat this? Eat more, eat less. I don't understand. But when it comes on the plate, they can see the interpretation, the know-how. I think most of our Malaysians, they have an issue with know-hows. How do I do it?
And that's interesting because I feel as if we were taught this in school, actually. Mm-hmm. The food pyramid, the basics of healthy eating. These are things that we covered in Kesihatan. These are things that we learned pretty early on. Why do most of us have a problem translating that into daily adult life when it's something that we have had drummed into us from a young age?
You see, when you're in school, it is knowledge and awareness. But when you come out of school, you are an adult. You have to put things into practice, you know. So these are some things that might have gaps in our education. For example, you know, I don't know whether now the schools have, I had to do a thorough cookery classes, you know, present food, you know, baking and all that in school, you know, when I was in Form 3. And Form 2, I had cookery classes and I had to learn to sew. And these kind of things of skills, know-how has to be done. Of course, when you come out from school, you have forgotten what you have learned. Most of the time, you just know the basic concept. Then you start working and then you look at areas where you stay, where's your workplace, what are affecting your eating habits, friends, your colleagues, they eat like that. How can I eat like this, right? Or bringing a packed lunch is very shameful. I find it very amusing. Many of my patients tell me, packed lunch? But, you know, we are not in some funny country. I say, hello, it's not funny country. Packed lunch is perfectly normal.
You know? I pack my lunch.
That's right. But many of them outside there, they feel embarrassed, you know, to pack lunch because their friends go and eat out. So how do I bring my tiffin or my lunchbox there? But I think it's very normal.
And it's something we should just get used to.
Yes.
let's look at some of the foods in particular that they covered in the article. Mm. One of the most striking differences of opinion here was granola and granola bars. Mm. Why is it that most experts do not consider granola healthy when it's been marketed as, you know, the most healthy breakfast food you could have?
Oh, okay. It depends on what the bars are made of, granola bars. You see, like, for example, I'll give you a very good example, cornflakes, okay? Cornflakes without sugar is fine. But when it's sugar-coated, then you have to consider the portions and how much. So that is the big controversy now in cereals, right? Most of the cereals are good without sugar added or without syrups or without honey. So when it comes to granola bar, the whole scenario changes because of what they put inside, syrups, fructose, you know, and things like that. So those are things that you may want to consider. What is considered like in the manufacturing process, for example, what happens? And therefore, what is added? What is taken off?
What's wrong with honey? Let's talk about that, because you mentioned honey just then, and people just think, you know, they can consume as much honey as they want, and honey is not sugar. But does honey count into your sugar intake?
Honey is in the group of sugar. It's just that if you don't take sugar, you take the equivalent of honey. There's nothing wrong with it. But what happens is people don't take the white sugar, and then they say honey is good, and they take abundance. No, that's not allowed. You know what's the problem here? Among my Malaysian people, if something is good, they enjoy without looking at portions, just because it's good. But too much of good food can become a mess too.
Like honey, for example.
So honey is good. What I mean is, you should know how much to eat. That's all.
A lot of people, you mentioned fruit juices as well, and juicing and all manner of juice is considered a health drink now. Are the benefits of drinking fruit juice the same as eating a fruit?
Okay, there's two things to consider. When you eat a fruit versus a juice, you will miss the fiber, okay, which is the fiber, the pith and all that. Unless the juicer brings in the fiber in, that's number one. Number two, once a fruit is juiced, you must drink it immediately. Yeah, you must drink it immediately so that it doesn't get oxidized. When it gets oxidized, your vitamins all will be gone, right? And so it will not be beneficial.
And then you're basically drinking sugar water, more or less?
You would say that is natural sugar, which comes from the fruits, okay? So that's naturally occurring sugar. But you may not benefit from the vitamins. That's what I'm trying to point out.
We're talking today with Mary Esau John, Chief Dietitian from Institute Jantung Negara, and we're talking about healthy foods, how to eat healthily, bringing it back to basics. Up next, I want to explore how to do this in Asia and in Malaysia specifically, when all the health foods that we're being told are good for us seem to not come from our own culture. If you've got any questions on how to eat healthily, if you've heard that, you know, some item of food is the best thing ever and you want to find out whether it's true, give us a call. That number is 03-77109000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Mary Esau John, Chief Dietitian from Institute Jantung Negara, is in with me, and we're myth-busting so-called healthy foods, but we're also examining how to eat healthily, because this is something that many of us struggle with. And we have opened up the phone lines. If you've got any questions on how to eat healthily, give us a call. That number is 03-77109000. You can text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some questions that have come in, with the first being from LTY on the line. Good afternoon, LTY.
Good afternoon, Lynn. And good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you both?
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Mary, let me share my opinion now about keep healthy. You see, I'm already 73. I'm not on any medication. Mm-hmm. Not even for cholesterol, sugar and high blood pressure. Why? Because it's all from nutrition. Mm. It's all from good exercise and activity, mm-hmm. and for a good night's sleep, mm-hmm. and also for mental well-being. All right.
Yes.
Now my question is this, Mary. I'm a smoker. All right. I have been smoking for 53 years,
okay.
But so far I have no problem with emphysema, COPD, erythema, nothing of that sort, all right. Now, let me share my experience, why I can maintain my health, right?
Mm-hmm.
I drink about 4 liters of water a day.
Okay.
4 liters of water. For that age, I think I've been drinking too much. Do you agree now, Mary?
But you've been tolerating that pretty well.
Yeah, I've been tolerating. My kidney is very healthy, no problem, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is this, Mary. Now, when you drink a lot of water, you tend to lose a lot of electrolyte, cation or ions. For example, potassium. You see, the NIH of America recommend it's a value, it's a recommended value, 4,700 mg of potassium, which I did a study, a calculation. I think an average person, the most take about 3,000, slightly more than 3,000.
Mm.
Now, for this, maybe, for this, even for elderly people, okay, may I share my experience? Normally, I target my potassium. How many? You see, in cocoa drink, one average cup of cocoa gives you 1,000. So you take two cups, it's 2,000. One banana gives you about 200 mg, all right?
Yes.
So you take three or four. And you take two oranges, you can get some potassium from there.
Yes.
Now, beside this, Mary, do you have any recommendation for elderly people, you know, especially the electrolytation or ion, so that we may have a homeostasis or this? Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that was a very good question that he raised. But what I find out about this gentleman is he's well-read, la. He really knows how to go about it. He knows foods which are rich in potassium, and he knows how to balance it. And I think, I presume he'll do his annual checkups and all that. Now, drinking, the normal recommendation is about 2 liters per day. So he's taken double. Okay, that includes all the other liquids that comes along. So actually, if you can bring it down to 1 liter, I mean, bring it down less 1 liter.
So about 3 liters.
Yeah, about 3 liters, that should do well. Because if you over drink, then of course it will leach all your electrolytes also. And it will be a total tsunami in your body. So I would like to just advise him that it's good what he's doing, but pay attention to extreme things, that you do not overdo it.
And his question about electrolytes and all that, it's so as long as he brings down that number in terms of the liters of water, he should be all right.
He should be all right because we will have electrolytes. You know, when he's talking about electrolytes, potassium, magnesium and all that, we get it from food, so you don't have to worry. So, and he's not on any medication that leaches your electrolytes, like Lasix and all that, then they'll have a problem. But he's not on any of those things.
We have a bunch of questions that have come in via text. Again, if you'd like to ask Mary any questions directly, you can also call that number 0377109000. Kumar from PJ says, hi, is eating 6 green apples daily considered healthy?
Okay. I think I just want to explain to Kumar one thing. He's right, we eat foods and not nutrients. But eating 6 apples a day is not a part of healthy and variety. Okay, we have to emphasize on variety. So when we are talking about variety and moderation, all fruits must come into your eating pattern. So no one fruit will take a credit for it. So I would advise Kumar to, you know, work around his fruits. But if he likes apple, green apples, then he may take 2 per day, right? And top up with another fruit. You can have, nowadays they recommend even breakfast have a fruit, right? So lunch, apple, and then dinner, maybe a banana or something. Have a variety in the fruits so that you can maximize the nutrient. You can also maximize the calories.
Is it good to spread out your fruit consumption like that? Or, you know, some people try and get it all out of the way right at the start of the day.
Well, the body will be able to handle that. That's not an issue. But it's also good to let the body have a balance of things going in.
On that note about fruit and fruit juices, regarding fruit juices, does it matter if it's cold pressed or otherwise? A listener wants to know.
Okay. Cold press is good because it's immediately done. A slow juicer is good because it's done in the proper way. The juice doesn't come up to a temperature. There's, you know, sometimes when you do juicing, you find that it's quite warm and then you have to put a lot of ice inside. So yes, it's good. But having said so, I want to say something that all fruit juices, when you do it at home, that means it's not bottled or anything, must be drunk immediately.
As a dietitian, would you say it's better to eat fruit or drink fruit juice? I mean, do you have a preference?
Look, it will depend on the situation. For me, I'm a fruit eater, but I also like juices. Right. So in a day, if I normally take 3 types of fruits. Right. But sometimes I will take 1 juice and 3 fruits. It's my preferences. But I always caution people with diabetes. If you take fruit juices, then you can see a swing in your blood sugars, you know, because it's concentrate naturally occurring sugars. But it still has an impact on your blood sugars in your body.
Someone wants clarification regarding monounsaturated fat and other types of fat.
Okay. Generally, fats have 3 types now. One is called saturated fat, and these are the bad guys, right? Then we have unsaturated fat. Unsaturated fat is two division. One is poly and one is mono. Okay, that's what he asked me, mono unsaturated. So mono unsaturated is like olive, you know, olive oils and these oils. Now, these oils plus the polyunsaturated, which is corn oil, soya oil, they are all very good oils for the heart, which means they totally bring down your total cholesterol and reduce your LDL, low density lipoprotein cholesterols. But they must be used in small amounts. What I'm very scared about Malaysians is they're not drinking water. They're drinking oils now, which is not correct in terms of habit. So these monounsaturated oils are also a good oil, right? So you can use it in your salads. You can use it in your, you know, sambal belacan. You can use it in your chutneys. It's pretty good, you know. So that's important. The last group of oil is, which is not oil, it's actually trans fat, which comes from manufacturing and baking of products. Now, these are some things you need to read labels in packed food to make sure that trans fat is less than 0.1% in the product, right? So, as I explained to him, one is the bad guys, is a saturated fat. The other one, under unsaturated fat, is poly and mono, and the third fat that is really causing havoc in our system now is the trans fat, which is by manufacturing a process called hydrogenation.
And what's an example of a saturated fat?
Butter, right?
Animal fats?
Ghee, animal fats, yeah? Minyak sapi and things like that.
Right, so those are the ones that we need to be mindful of. Mm. The unsaturated fats are good for you, but in proper doses. And trans fats should be avoided.
Try to avoid it. It's very difficult because you have it all in the bakery products. You know, you have it in your shortening and things like that.
We have other questions now. I'm listening to your show. I'm interested in this topic as I'm actively changing my diet and lifestyle because I'm recovering from a knee injury, so my lifestyle has been altered drastically. I'm working on balancing my diet. I've had a lot of fun with mixing salads. I've heard that adding chia seeds is very healthy. Is this true?
Yes, it's true. Chia seed is actually a powerful form of antioxidants, so you can actually mix it in your salad. But if you want, you can also use flaxseed. However, flaxseed must be crushed, you know, to get the maximum benefit of the antioxidants.
So just a bit of a pounding.
Yeah, just a bit of pounding. And if you use tomatoes, you know, it's good to blanch the tomato, blanch it in water so that you get the lycopene, the antioxidant, which becomes alive when it's cooked.
I see. So actually raw tomatoes are not as beneficial
Raw tomatoes have fiber, but if you want the antioxidant lycopene, it has to be cooked. So, you know, putting it in hot water, blanching it for a while, or making a salsa puree with it, it will be more beneficial.
What is your view on quinoa?
Quinoa. Yeah, it is a good cereal. I mean, it's a good grain. I have no objection, but it's very expensive to buy in Malaysia.
Very, extremely.
Very.
Yes.
And it seems to be marketed as, you know, what do you call it, a special healthy food.
Amino acids.
Yeah, lots of amino acids, you know. That is same to millet. You know, in India, the other grain they take is millet. Now, millet is equally good as
quinoa.
And what is the argument in this? The argument in this is their carbohydrates are less and the protein is more. So the amino acids are beneficial to the body. Well, if you can afford it, go ahead. Otherwise, it's okay. We still have other fatty acids and other amino acids in other food.
And you'd suggest millet as a reasonable replacement for quinoa?
Millet is more available in our markets compared to, because it's not so expensive. Millets are not expensive and you can buy it in any of the Indian shops or supermarkets.
And it's as beneficial?
Yes, it is as beneficial.
And that brings me quite neatly to, I mean, before that, I will say our phone lines remain open. So if you've got any questions about eating healthily, and I'm sure that you have tons because I have tons, that number to call is 0377109000. You can also text 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So there was mention of chia seeds and quinoa, and these are, I wouldn't say fad, they're not fads, but they're certainly very trendy health foods.
Yes.
And none of them are Asian per se.
Yes.
Is it more difficult to eat healthily in Asia?
No.
Or in Malaysia?
No, I don't think so. Why do you have this concept that, Western foods are, these are the things, like, you know, look at our Malaysian food. I mean, look at what's available in Malaysia. We have a variety of green leafy vegetables. Well, they're healthy, man, right? Number two, we have a lot of fruit vegetables. We have lots of fruits. We have brown rice. We have mihun. Huh? We have mihun, which we have noodles, which are made out of brown rice. We have a lot of variety. In fact, Malaysia is such a haven for variety of food, you know. So I think what you have to do is look at the plate concept. Half of it should be more vegetables and fruits. Quarter of it should be a meat or chicken or fish, and another quarter any of your whole grains. It could be whole grains, or it could be like, if you eat white rice, go ahead, nothing is wrong with it. You know, you don't have to run and buy brown rice. What is the difference is brown rice has got more fiber and more nutrient. That's fine. But if you can't get it, it's fine. Don't make a fuss out of things, you know. But you must notice the portions. That is what I'm concerned.
So if I'm trying to eat healthily and I follow the plate concept, mm-hmm. And I fill it as I wish with whatever I like on the half of vegetables and fruits, quarter protein and quarter mm-hmm. carbohydrate, mm-hmm. am I basically fine, even if, you know, they're not traditionally thought of as healthy foods, so long as I follow it?
You keep the you see, why the plate came is to keep you within the portion, to keep within the portion. I also want to emphasize something. You eat foods and not nutrients, okay? So therefore, when you put the vegetables, it should be colorful, you know? So when you add color, you have different antioxidants and different nutrients, okay? Number two, chicken. I mean, if you eat chicken, if you eat fish, if you eat seafood, it's fine. You rotate it, you know. But every day cannot be just chicken, lah. You know what I mean? If you're a vegetarian, then it goes for tofu, it goes for dals, it
tempeh.
Goes tempeh, legumes, which we have in Malaysia. You no need to do. So having said about vegetarian, I'm very particular when I tell my patients these are whole grain vegetarian. I'm a little concerned about preserved vegetarians. Preserved vegetable products, you know, that I will caution, because you have to read the label, because there's a lot of preservatives in these products. So rainbow colors, variety, different types, different cooking methods. Okay, so if you start visualizing it to you, talking to yourself, I need to have variety, I need to have color, I need to have different cooking methods, different types of nutrient from each groups, different foods, then I think you will work on it very, very effectively.
It makes you happy to look at as well. I mean,
yes.
If you have a variety and if your plate is colourful, it just makes you happier to eat, I think.
Yes.
We have a question here from Ram, because people want to know about saturated fat. Good afternoon, Ram.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, Natari. I'd just like to inquire. Now, there are lots of data that's coming out saying that the saturated fats are not the culprit of causing heart attack,
yes.
And all the other issues. So I would like to know what's your comment on it, and also a comment on our very own coconut oil and coconut butter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ram.
Okay, let me answer the first question. What he says, the saturated fat is a big controversy now as to what type of fatty acids are available in that saturated fat. Some of the fatty acids in the saturated fat are not healthy. So looking at a typical oil, you would analyze what type of fatty acids, and then they would say that this is okay in small amounts. Now, the second question he asks about is coconut. Actually, coconut oil is classified as a saturated fat. However, one of the good things about that oil is its oil is it has got a triglyceride which is called medium chain triglyceride, MCT, which bypasses the liver synthesis. Okay, so it doesn't tax on your liver. So for people who need calories, for people who have metabolism of the liver problem, they take this oil because it doesn't disturb your liver, right? Having said so, it's fine. Still, all oils must come within your 30% of the amount of your total calorie. Okay? You should use more of the unsaturated oil. And of course, in the unsaturated oil, some of it will have saturation. So this is my comment about the coconut oil.
Let's just quickly get all the oil questions out of the way, because there are quite a few. Tan from KL says, wants to know about the MCTs. Mm. And you mentioned that it's good because it doesn't tax the liver. But on the other hand, it's also been touted as, you know, coconut oil in particular has been touted as a cure-all for everything. You know, it boosts your immunity. Mm. It's great for, quote-unquote, detoxification. He wants to know, is it as good as it's touted to be?
Okay. I would think that that oil... the thing that they talk a lot about it is only the medium chain triglycerides, but basically it's a saturated fat, and paper shows that people who eat most of these oils, like in the Philippines and in South Kerala and all this, they predominantly that's their oil they use as a medium of cooking. Surprisingly, you find their triglycerides are pretty high. You know, the trends are your TG, triglyceride, which is a type of fat in your blood, becomes high due to intake of high saturated fats and also high sugar intake, right? My advice would be, okay, all oils, unsaturated, fit into your diet. But having said so, if you need to use, maybe once in a while you need a bit of butter or something, you should go ahead with it. Don't feel so bad about it. So I will emphasize on balance, moderation, and variety.
Stanley wants to know, do we need to worry about coconut milk?
Ah, that's a good question. Coconut milk is also saturated fat. You may want to use half the amount in your cooking. If you really like coconut milk, there's nothing wrong with it. However, Japanese study shows a lot of coconut milk is done in Japanese study, surprisingly.
Yes, I've noticed.
Yeah, you have noticed. And I used to wonder, why are they doing all these studies? Okay, they say that the coconut milk, when not taken with carbohydrates, has powerful antioxidants. But in Malaysia, we take our coconut milk with carbohydrates. I mean, masala lemak, then we eat with rice, right? Whereas theirs is served as dessert or served as a soup, you know. So they are looking into the study and they say that these, when you eat it without the carbs, it is very beneficial, powerful antioxidant base.
What is your opinion on a ketogenic or a low-carb diet? Kevin Chu is asking.
Depends on what disease you have and why they give you. Ketogenes is used in specific patient diseases where you have to make sure you have to maintain. But other than that, for a normal person, it is not recommended.
What about, I would assume, and I'm going out on a limb, I might be wrong, Kevin, but most people who embark on low-carb diets are usually doing it for weight loss.
Yes.
Would that count into that category of person you spoke about?
Okay, if you want to do low-carb, you must remember you must have 130 grams minimum carbs, which means it's equivalent to survive your brain, you need 6 slices of bread. Just to make it easy, 130 grams is 6 slices of bread. Pure carbs. We're talking about pure carbs, huh? Which means they don't take other forms of carbs. People think that, hey, it's the carbs, but that includes your milk, that includes your legumes, right? And that includes your fruits. They all come into the carb. So I'm telling you, 130 grams, which is 6 slices of bread minimum for brain to function, okay? Which your glucose will not come from anywhere. So if you keep that standard and you can survive, it's fine. But when you deprive your body of carbs, right, then what will happen? The other nutrients will break down. Protein might break down because they are doing a sparing mechanism system. Oh, there's not enough of energy. Okay, what do I do? So they'll go to the fat first. They go to the fat first. After the fat is done, the calorie will come from protein. So you cannot afford this breakdown in the body. Right, you need fat for cushioning your organs and you need protein for your cells. So you have to be very cautious when you go on very low carbs. So I would advise people who want to go on a very low carb to consult your dietitian, do a diet plan and see the minimum amount that you have to survive on.
We're talking about how to eat healthily today, and there are a lot of questions coming in from you guys. We will get to them right after this. Our phone lines remain open. You can call 03-77-109-000. You can text 016-201-9000. I see a slew of texts. We will get to that. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We will continue this right after the market update. You are listening to The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Here's a quick update from Bursa Malaysia. The FBM KLCI is up 0.1% at 1,665 points, with some interest returning to blue chips. Sentiment on the broader market, however, remains negative, with more decliners than gainers. So far, more than 1.4 billion shares have changed hands, with more than 1.2 billion ringgit. The five most active counters are TH Heavy Engineering, Borneo Oil, Sumatech Resources, Sinichi Tech and PDZ Holdings. The top gainers include Panasonic Manufacturing, Nestle Malaysia, Aeon Credit, Petronas Dagangan and United Plantations. And decliners are led by BAT, Globetronics, Rapid Synergy, LPI Capital and Chaya Mata Sarawak. We'll have more in our next news update at the top of the hour, BFM 89.9.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Mary Esau John, Chief Dietitian at Institute Jantung Negara. And we're talking about how to eat healthily and breaking down what healthy foods actually are. And we have Mokhtar on the line asking about teh tarik. Good afternoon, Mokhtar.
Good afternoon. My question is, I would like to know about the way the teh tarik is made, and particularly the milk, what's so-called milk. Is it real milk? And could the dietitian tell us about this, please? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mokhtar.
He's asking about
teh tarik.
Okay, Malaysian teh tarik is made from tea dust. Tea dust is the lowest category of tea. Okay?
Right.
It's the dust. Okay? So if you're drinking teh tarik in any shops, right, they are made from the least quality of tea, which is tea dust. Okay? That's number one. I need to tell you that. Number two, so it's not like having tea in an English restaurant,
right?
You know, the quality tea, you know. That's number one. So number two, what happens in that tea, it could be subject to colorings, contamination. It could be, but we do not know. But the other thing is, it comes out with loads of sugar and milk. And mostly the milk is condensed milk. Okay, so that comes the sugar and that comes the fat, right? So you may want to think, if you have diabetes, if you have cardiovascular disease, teh tarik might be considered as a treat. However, you drink your tea at home, buy quality tea, use low-fat milk and a little bit of sugar.
And teh tarik here, does that apply to all teas that we would have at our local shops? Because it's not just teh tarik that we're drinking.
No, teh tarik means it's done from tea dust. I've done the survey to find out.
Right.
So if you say teh tarik biasa, it comes mostly from tea dust, unless you drink it in a restaurant, you know, little bigger restaurants, little bigger cafes, they may use tea leaves.
And if you're drinking something like teh ice or teh o, is that also tea dust?
In the general garais.
Okay, I'm very disheartened by this news. Okay, let's get to the questions that have come in via text. We'll try to reach as many of you as we can. Is eating sweetened dried cranberries with pomegranate juice concentrate good for your health? Can this be considered fiber?
Yes, dried cranberries can be considered as a fiber. He said dried, right?
He said dried, but he also said sweetened.
Sweetened, naturally sweetened, or no, you don't. If it's naturally sweets from the cranberry, it's fine. Added sugar, then you may want to reconsider.
And with pomegranate juice concentrate, is that good for you?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right, but it doesn't have fiber.
Do cut fruits and raw vegetables have to be eaten immediately after cutting?
Yes.
Okay, so no waiting around.
Yeah, so no waiting around because it'll oxidize. The vitamins will oxidize.
On that same note, Edwin wants to know, is it advisable to eat fruits right after dinner? Because I think that's a very common practice.
Don't worry, when you eat your fruits, the body will know how to do it. The question is, some people eat fruits before main meals because they want to kind of tuck their stomachs with a little bit more extra fiber so they may not overindulge. Okay, so don't worry about the fruits. You know, the body, the digestive juices in the stomach will know. But the important aspect is, please make sure you chew your food well. That's it.
And to have, as mentioned earlier, three types of fruits, different types of fruits, and better yet, at different points during the day.
Hmm.
Okay. And now we also have, what are the vegetables that patients with who are taking anticoagulants can or cannot eat?
Well, it depends on what anticoagulant you're taking. If you're taking warfarin, actually warfarin is a blood thinner. okay, a medication that helps to treat and prevent blood clots, okay. But certain food and beverages can make warfarin less effective in preventing blood clots. So what are the vegetables that you can really think is vitamin K rich vegetables? But having said so, I always tell my patient, it doesn't mean you completely delete from your diet. Okay, so why vitamin K? It has to be consistent, lah. So with adequate intake. So which are the foods that are rich in vitamin K's? They will be spinach, kailan, okay, mustards, and green tea. These are the highest in vitamin K. Having said so, I would like to advise the person that you take the same amount. Like some days you want a kailan, it's fine. You can take it, but whenever it's cooked, it's half cup. If it's salad, it's one cup. And you need to keep it consistent to your warfarin dosage.
Ikwan from KL says, I'd like to ask if it's true that our metabolism rate will stop at one point in our life. I think stop here meaning just kind of halt. Or will it change as we vary our diet regardless of how old we are?
No, it doesn't stop. It won't stop. Basic metabolic rates are needed for the basic functioning of your organs.
Of your whole body.
Yeah, for your whole body, it won't stop. The day it stops means we have gone to heaven. Yeah, I just want to make it doesn't stop. But it will slow down. Yeah, that's a great thing. Some people are so blessed with very high metabolic rates. Some people are not. So you'll have to work at your metabolic rate. And metabolic rates are always increased by activity, physical activity. Having said so, some people say, oh, I take some supplements like Q10, coenzyme and all these. Yes, they do help. But I want to tell you, it's exercise.
Are supplements made from seeds like such as black cumin, grape seed and raspberry good for third stage CKD patients? How about chia seeds? And CKD here, I guess, is chronic kidney disease.
Yes.
And that's from Jenny.
Okay, Jenny, to answer your question, it will depend on how much you take, right? And what you must be very careful in CKD. She said stage 3, is it?
Stage 3, yes.
Yeah, stage 3. Because you are looking at overall your function of your kidneys. And you also look at your blood test and you have to see what is the blood test telling you. So I wouldn't like to give you an advice on air like this. I would appreciate if you go and see your dietitian and talk to her.
Would you recommend lecithin in the diet to neutralize saturated oil consumption from Tan?
Lecithin?
Lecithin
comes from soya and eggs, right? And he said to what?
To neutralize saturated oil consumption.
There is not much of evidence in that, in lecithin, consumption of lecithin to neutralize.
So it's better to just cut down on your saturated oil consumption,
yes,
as opposed to try and neutralize it after you've had it.
Had it.
Okay. Adrian says, are the benefits of drinking cow's milk a myth? I've read that the body doesn't even digest the calcium. And he also says he has issues with the ethical parts of the industry.
I think milk is okay for consumption. I mean, centuries people have drunk milk. My question would be the quantity that you take, okay? The recommended allowance is one cup, 250 ml per day, right? Milk will be assimilated. It provides you calcium, potassium, magnesium and everything. What we want now people to take is low-fat. Low-fat so that actually you can also reduce the total fat and the carbs, okay? However said and done, ethical reasons, I do not see any ethical issues like drinking milk, you know. I think the ethical issue here is only in babies. That's where the ethical issues come. I don't think it should be an issue if you can consume about one cup of milk, 250 ml a day, it will digest.
What's your take on having meals at different times? For example, you know, one day I have breakfast at 9:30, the next day I have breakfast at 7.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect the body?
Okay. Some people can take meals at different times and the body can adjust. But I would like to say something. The body is made in such a way that early morning after breakfast, you see, you sleep the whole night and then you get up. So breakfast, that means you had already about 8 to 9 hours of break, The body is very quiet, sleeping. Now, in the morning, it needs a little bit of petrol. So the petrol comes actually from where? From the food you eat. So if you get up, say an example, if you get up at 7 o'clock, you take a shower, everything you eat at 9 o'clock, it's fine. Okay. However said and done, you must make sure you have the next meal too, before 2, right? Normally, digestion and assimilation of food will take about 4 hours. Okay. So if you're eating at 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 1 o'clock, 1:30, you should be eating something, right? So if you keep to the consistency, the body also will know that this is the hour time, this is the time for the break, this is the time. I'm okay with 1 or 2 hours late or early, but what I'm concerned is about skipping. Skipping meals is not a good practice. After some time, the body will say, where do I look for food? And then the gastric juices will come out in your gastric, in your stomach, and then, you know, it may cause form of a further problem with gastric issues. So 1 hour, 2 hour difference. I think 1 hour difference, 2 hours difference is fine at different days, as long as you don't skip.
Finally, what type of oil should be used for different types of cooking?
Mm.
For example, quick stir fry, curries, braising, etc.
Okay. For long cooking, if you like fried stuff, our Malaysian palm oil is very good, medium, because it's very stable. If you like a salad, you like to put it into your sambal belacan, or you like to put it in your chutneys, then you can use olive oil, right? Which is mono unsaturated. If you want to just stir fry quickly, stir fry very fast, that means you just put it and turn it into the oil, you can use soya, you know, or you can use corn oil. Having said so, all oil should be used in moderation. So my take-home message is, you are eating food and not nutrient. Number two, you please remember balance, moderation and variety. And when I look at my plate, there must be colours, right?
So the next time I head to a supermarket,
mm-hmm.
Just very quickly, the next time I head to a supermarket and I'm walking around the aisles, what should I be thinking about when I'm picking up food items?
Okay, before you go to the supermarket, make a list. That's number one. Malaysians never do lists and they just buy at random.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's the one behavior habit we have to change. Then you go there and you do, or what do you think is, you walk to the aisle, look at the food, and then, you know, you see what you want. Sometimes on the list, you might think, oh, I have, maybe this is a season of maybe this is a season of mangoes. So you may want to take mango and you strike off the other fruit. That's okay. That you can do something. So remember, on the plate, I need my colors. So I will have colors of vegetables. I'll have colors of fruits. Okay? I can buy the colors. Number two is, what protein? I want lean, so I might have chicken, or I might have lean meat, if you like. Or I can have some seafood. So you have it every other day. So in a week, you roughly do a simple menu, you know, which many people don't like to do, but it's very simple. Then you would think of miscellaneous. That's my advice.
All the other separate things.
So look at the main thing and then the miscellaneous. But I want to caution, when you buy packaged food, please read labels. Okay, labels are very important, and they tell you the calories, they tell you the number of servings, and they tell you saturated fat, trans fat, everything inside there. So label reading is important.
Thank you very much for coming in, Mary.
It's a pleasure.
There are other questions we didn't get to. We'll save them for your next show. We are out of time. I've been speaking today with Mary Esau John, Chief Dietitian at Institute Jantung Negara. And together we've been exploring, myth-busting, quote-unquote, healthy foods, but also understanding how we can eat more healthily based on our Malaysian diet, based on our Malaysian markets. You've been listening to Health and Living today on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.